The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to Let Us Reason, a Christian-Muslim dialogue with host Al Fadi. Let Us Reason is a unique show utilizing theology, apologetics, and evangelism to reach Muslims for Christ by comparing and contrasting Christian and Muslim doctrines. And now, your host, Al Fadi.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Al Fadi, and we have an amazing show put together for you here today to address a very controversial topic today and these days among our Islamic Dawah team. And that's the topic of the preservation of the Quran, or the myth of the perfect preservation of the Quran. And of course, with me here, joining us remotely in studio, who's better than David Wood, our dear brother, who is going to analyze some recent interactions by Islamic Dawah team members attacking at least one of their own when it came to the topic of the preservation of the Quran. But also, they are making now new wave of claims when it comes to the different variant readings, I should say, or the differences between the readings of the Quran itself. And of course, this is something that we have raised years and years and years and years ago concerning the fact that there is no such thing as a perfect preservation when it comes to the Quran, and the fact that the variant readings of the Quran in and of itself is a proof that you have multiple Qurans. But of course, I guess who are we to make a claim like this, since we apparently do not know Arabic, do not know the Quran, and do not know anything about Islam? Wink, wink, of course, chung and tea. Here with me in studio, joining us remotely, is our dear brother, Dr. David Wood. Dr. David, thank you so much, brother, as always. It's a blessing to have you. And indeed, David, these Dawah team members are hilarious when it comes to making claims, because they seem like they reinterpret their own interpretations from time to time.
Yeah, that's called gaslighting, where you say something and then we point out, hey, you said this. And then for a while, they acknowledge that they said it. And then eventually they say, oh, we never said that. And it's like, wait a minute, I have stacks of books where you say it. I have endless videos of you saying it. Oh, you said it for years. In fact, that's all I heard for many years. And then once you've been thoroughly exposed, then you say, we didn't say that. What we said was this new thing. Yeah, so, I mean, you have tons of videos on your channel about problems with the Quran and problems with the claim that the Quran has been perfectly preserved. But are you familiar with this claim that was pretty much all I heard from the time I started investigating Islam? Pretty much all I heard as one of their most effective tools for Dawah was the claim that there's only one Quran. So they would compare this with the Bible. They would say, but you know, Bart Ehrman says there are textual variants in the history of the manuscripts of the Bible. And that's true. There are textual variants. It's pretty, right. Pretty well understood that anytime you have human beings copying a book by hand, they're going to make mistakes. That's what textual criticism is for. Because if I'm copying the New Testament for my church in, let's say, the 4th century AD, and I make a mistake, and let's say I live in Rome or something like that, if I happen to make a mistake, well, that mistake is not made by everyone else. And so if you get a copy of my manuscript, you can actually compare it with other manuscripts and say, oh, okay, this one says something different from what these others said. Oh, it looks like this guy made a spelling mistake here or something like that. That's how textual criticism works. Everyone in every area of history that deals with manuscripts of ancient books is aware of the fact that should be obvious, that human beings make mistakes when they're copying books, and that you can look at manuscripts and examine them to get at the original reading. But in Islam, what they wanted to do was say, you have textual variants in the manuscripts of the Bible. But in Islam, there are no textual variants because the Quran has been perfectly preserved right down to the letter from the time of Muhammad. I have Muslim apologetics books, endless videos where Muslims are making this claim. One Quran, no variants anywhere. In fact, the famous Sheikh Yasser Qadhi.
Oh, boy.
And this is actually a good introduction to the problem that that arose recently for them. The amazing Sheikh Yasser Qadhi, in a video for the Why Islam campaign, used this argument. He said that from the time of Uthman, the Caliph Uthman, down to the present, he said, you will not find a single letter's difference between any two Qurans ever. You cannot find two Qurans in the world that differ in even one single letter. They match perfectly. Right? What's interesting and should be horrifying is that that's what Sheikh Yasser Qadhi was saying to a popular audience. In other words, if it's non-Muslims or popular level Muslims who aren't going to study these issues, that's what he was saying to them. He was saying perfect preservation right down to the letter. We have video clips from the same guy around the same time when he's speaking to what he calls students of knowledge. These are people who are on the path to becoming scholars. And he tells them something very, very different. He's telling them that, yes, if you go to different parts of the world, you get different Qurans. Say, hey, you know, they're very similar, but he said there are differences in words and differences in letters, and you need to be aware of this so that you're not shocked when you find out about this stuff. And so notice, this is just amazing stuff, because you've got Muslim scholars who are telling uneducated people one thing and saying something completely different to the more educated Muslims. And a lot of this eventually came out and was exposed in part due to the infamous holes in the narrative interview where Muhammad Hijab interviewed Sheikh Yasser Qadhi in order to Muhammad Hijab thought that Yasser Qadhi was going to clear up these things. And by the way, the entire point of the holes in the narrative interview was that Muslims who were in private discussions with Yasser Qadhi were realizing he's talking about different Qurans and claiming that the standard, even scholarly Muslim explanations for the differences in terms of, it was revealed in different ways. And yes, all these differences can somehow be traced back to Muhammad. He was saying these explanations don't actually work. And so we had like all these different faces of Yasser Qadhi. He's telling different things to different audiences. Muhammad Hijab really seemed to think that Yasser Qadhi could come on and clarify all of this and just explain himself, and he's going to make sense of all his claims. Instead, Yasser Qadhi instantly started going, don't ask me about this. Do not talk about this in public. This is bad. You should never talk about these things
take
in public
course
like this.
And let's take a deep dive, right?
Yeah. We'll, and he was even saying that if you want to talk about this afterwards, we could talk about it. Do not talk about this in public. It's bad, right? And anyway, lots of us who are Christian apologists dealing with these kinds of claims, we used the holes in the narrative, that phrase, holes in the narrative, to point out that there are holes in the narrative of perfect word for word, letter for letter, dot for dot preservation. But that's not what Yasser Qadhi was actually talking about there. He was taking it for granted that, of course, there are differences in words and letters and so on. What he was talking about, the standard narrative was the standard scholarly narrative that we can account for these differences by talking about different ahruf and different readings that all somehow went back to Muhammad. Like Muhammad was delivering this to his followers in different ways, and they're all acceptable and they're all great, and they all they complement each other. And so that's what he was talking about. He was saying our scholarly explanations cannot even account for these differences, which means the obvious implication is, If you can't explain how they all go back to Muhammad, that these are variants that arose later by mistake.
That's right.
And that's what terrified the Muslim community. And so that's the situation here. So Yasser Qadhi was attacked for acknowledging that there are variants. He was attacked for claiming that different, the standard Muslim explanations for why they have these variants don't work. What's absolutely amazing is that now that Muslim da'is are starting to grant that there are textual variants in the history of the Quran, now they're attacking him for lying about there being no variants, right? Now we actually have Muslim da'is who are saying, look, here's a video of Sheikh Yasser Qadhi. Fareed did this on his channel, Fareed Responds. In fact, he did it in a response to me where I was pointing out, look, here's a video clip of Sheikh Yasser Qadhi saying no variants in the entire history of the Quran from the time of Uthman to the present. And here's a clip of Yasser Qadhi acknowledging that there are different Qurans in the world today. And Fareed played this clip and he said, yeah, Yasser Qadhi was lying when he said there were no variants. Of course there are variants. Now, Fareed is someone who believes that you can account for these based on, different ahruf and kirat and so on. But now the point is, now the da'is are calling their own scholars liars for claiming that there weren't any textual variants. So I'm just saying this because the entire history of my interactions with Muslims, I was called a liar for saying that the Quran hasn't been perfectly preserved. I was called a liar for saying that there are textual variants. I was called a liar for saying that passages came up missing. I was called a liar for saying there are different Qurans in different parts of the world. And now they're calling Muslims liars if those Muslims said that there were no variants in the text of the Quran. So this is, we could actually watch a video clip of Muslims.
Let's do that. Yes.
Calling Yasser Qadhi liar for various reasons. We'll talk about those reasons.
And we'll play this video clip right away.
This Yasser Qadhi should be shut down. His channel should be shut down. He should never be allowed to open his mouth about Islam. Wallahi, this person is a disaster that has engulfed this ummah.
When you do a deep dive is when things get very, very awkward and difficult.
No. If you want misguidance, listen to Yasser Qadhi.
The preservation of the ahruf, is it one, is it three, is it seven?
Yasser al-Qadhi, I accuse you. You are worse than the layman people. You failed.
This is not a joke, brothers and sisters. The issue of ahruf and qira'at caused confusion to somebody whom the Prophet ﷺ said, if you want to listen to the Quran directly, listen to Ubay.
ما في مشكلة تكفير يا أخي. Live. We don't care.
The most advanced of our scholars, they're not quite fully certain how to solve all of the unanswered questions in there.
Yasser Qadhi, when you see him on a video, click X.
Traditional understandings of ahruf and qira'at cannot answer some of these pressing questions that are now being poked.
When you hear him, close your ears. Lest you want to be exposed to fitna.
The standard narrative has holes in it. That's what I'm going to say.
This quote-unquote renowned scholar, he's a da'i. He does not qualify to be a scholar.
I would advise Dr. Yasser Qadhi to stop indulging in this because this is not his field. He's not an authority to say.
If I were to give you a blank mushaf, yeah, and tell you to write what is munazzal verbatim from Allah into that mushaf with no human interference, would you write something which corresponds?
It's
with
not an easy answer. It's not an easy yes or no.
I think this should be an easy yes or no, though. Yes, Al Khadi.
Okay.
What would you write?
You're pushing me.
I'm telling it to you flat out. You may not listen to anything that Yasser Qadhi has to offer. Zero. Nada. Nothing.
And my argument is very straightforward. So what if a lot of people said something, it doesn't make it right? The fact that 99% of your teachers say something doesn't mean it is the correct truth.
His criticism applies to the entire Islamic tradition.
Of course, anything that Yasser Qadhi says at this point is probably wrong. We are at a point with Yasser Qadhi where if he says the sky is blue, I have to double check 3-4 times.
It seems like Yasser Qadhi's lying. That's just the reality. Yasser Qadhi seems to be lying.
There has never been two copies of the Quran that are different even in one letter or one word.
Is that true? It's not true.
If you were to compare two printed Qurans, you're going to see differences between them.
In the second video, he's clear about the reality and he affirms the reality. So those are two different things.
I wish and pray that Allah Azza wa Jal will guide him. Allah guide him, Ya Rabbi guide him. And if Allah doesn't have it in his decree to guide him, to so that we don't have to hear him rant about any Islamic subject matter. From the accused of Prophet ﷺ of having ill intentions with Zainab bin Jahash, to now claiming that shirk is not shirk. What is left for this guy? Quran has the narrative of the Quran has holes in it. The standard narrative. What is left for this person?
The standard narrative does not answer some very pressing questions. The standard narrative has holes in it. That's what I'm going
to
say.
I'm telling you, if you continue to listen to him, very soon there will be no more foundations of Islam. They're being destroyed in front of you one after the other.
I believe that he finds the topic of the qira'at to be problematic for like the layman audience, and therefore he simply lied. That's what I believe.
Well, what's wrong with you? You used to be a good person before. But it's Allah who guides whom he will and misguide whom he will.
That is wow. That is indeed amazing. And I tell you why it's amazing, David. At least Yasser Qadhi, to be honest with you, is being honest with his comments about the narrative having holes in it. Because I've looked at the narrative of the collection of the Quran in Arabic, by the way. You know, you always hear that there was two collections of the Quran. The first one was by Abu Bakr, the second one was by Uthman. But if you really dig deep into the sources of this narrative, there is multiple stories. Multiple stories. So Yasser Qadhi indeed was referring to the fact that if you rely on these primary sources, there are holes in them. You can't really tell the truth from the lie. And it's amazing how they're all now judging him, giving themselves the right to judge him, and he's no longer a qualified scholar, you know? So a Yale graduate with a PhD is no longer a qualified scholar. I wonder who are they then to, you know, get the authority to judge anyone for that matter. But go ahead, David.
Yeah, it's funny because we watched that clip specifically because that was put together by Hatun Tash. Yes,
we want to give credit to Sister Hatun for sure.
Yeah, and she was the one who was most responsible for the holes in the narrative interview, as far as what led to it, because for many years when Muslims have claimed perfect Quran preservation, we've been pointing out things that we would regard as obvious because they're in their sources. They're directly from their sources. So Sahih Muslim 2286, let me read a little passage here. Sahih Muslim 2286, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari sent for the reciters of Basra. So this is a companion of Muhammad sending for the next generation of reciters who didn't know Muhammad. It says, they came to him and they were 300 in number. They recited the Quran and he said, you are the best of the inhabitants of Basra, for you are the reciters among them. So continue to recite it. But bear in mind that your reciting for a long time may not harden your hearts as were hardened the hearts of those before you. We used to recite a surah which resembled in length and severity to Surah Barat, that's Surah 9 of the Quran. I have, however, forgotten it, with the exception of this which I remember out of it. If there were two valleys full of riches for the son of Adam, he would long for a third valley, and nothing would fill the stomach of the son of Adam but dust. That verse is not in any Quran today. That chapter is not in any Quran today. So this isn't simply Abu Musa saying, hey, I forgot a chapter of the Quran. Anyone could forget a chapter of the Quran. He's telling the next generation of reciters to recite the Quran so that they don't lose more of it like the first generation did, who hardened their hearts and didn't recite the Quran. And he mentions a surah which would have been over 100 verses long, and saying, all I remember is one verse from it. It's not in the Quran today because they forgot the entire chapter. You read things like that, and he goes on to mention another surah that Muslims forgot. And he's using this to warn the Muslim community there to keep reciting the Quran so that they don't forget it. You have, again, Sunan Ibn Majah, 1944, where Aisha says that verses of the Quran were lost because she had the only copy and they were eaten by a sheep. Look in the Quran today. The Quran does not contain these verses today. And yet you go to the Muslim sources, they're supposed to be in there. That verse about the son of Adam, you know, with a valley of riches or two valleys of riches or something like that. You have different versions in the Muslim sources. But that's supposed to be in there. They remember that being revealed and them reciting that. They just can't remember the chapter. And so these are the things you read when you go to the Muslim sources. So that was one approach. That was the approach I took. I would just quote their sources to them. You had other approaches of people like Dan Brubaker and other academics are actually examining manuscripts of the Quran, and they're putting pages of the Quran side by side in their books and saying, look, here's a page that says this. Here's a page that says that. That's a difference. That's a textual variant. That's a mistake. That's a spelling error. They're putting these out there. And then the third approach is to talk about different Qurans in the world today. So you go to Morocco, they favor the Warsh translation. Most of the world favors the Warsh version.
Yeah.
And then you go to most of the Muslim world uses the Hafs version.
That's right.
And so on. So there are textual differences in these Qurans. And so, but it was always like people putting it out in books or people putting it out in videos. Eventually, Hatun just shows up to Speaker's Corner with like 26 or 27 different Arabic Qurans that she had just bought in different places around the world and noticed that these are all different. And Muslims were actually accusing her of printing her own Quran with variants. They're accusing her of printing her own Qurans with the textual variants. And it's like, no, you actually go to places and get different Qurans. So this Muslims didn't know how to explain this at Speaker's Corner when she's putting the Qurans in front of them saying that is not the same as that. Look right here. Is this verse the same as this verse? And until that, they're all confused. And what do? Muslims run right back to their dawah guys and their scholars who lied to them in the first place. Well, how do we explain this? And then they start explaining it in terms, oh, well, you know, it's different dialects and different ahruf and different kirat. And that's how we explain it. And then this all gets brought up eventually to Yasser Qadhi for his explanation. And then he was saying that the explanation of the Ahruf and the Kirat doesn't actually work. And so he was attacked from all sides. Some of the Muslims are attacking him for what they regard as wrong doctrines and so on that he has held to. But it's interesting because Muslims are simultaneously now attacking him for claiming falsely that there was only one Quran, that the Quran's been perfectly preserved from the time of Uthman. And simultaneously, they're attacking him for claiming that the explanation, the standard narrative, doesn't work. You can't explain different Quran variants in terms of things that all go back to Muhammad. So he's being blasted from all sides. And what's amazing is they wouldn't be dealing with this problem right now. They would not have this problem if they hadn't been lying the entire time. The claim that there's only one Quran perfectly preserved, it's false. Their scholars and da'is knew that it was false when they were claiming this. It was a lie, but they thought that it was good as long as it's helping people believe in Islam. But also the claim about the different ahruf and kirat, these variants all going back to Muhammad, that's also a lie. That's the lie that we're going to have to be dealing with in the near future, because that's still popular, even though Yasser Qadhi has admitted that it doesn't work. But we're going to have to show in the coming years that this explanation doesn't work. And we know this because some of the different qirat, some of the different readings actually give you contradictory meanings of different verses in the Quran. And so this is doomed to failure as well. And yet this is the explanation that Muslims are running with now. But it's funny because now the scholars and the da'is are at least acknowledging that there are different Qurans.
Indeed, David. Thank you so much. And of course, a simple look at David's channel or any of his past videos, our channel, Dr. J. Smith's channel, even the channel by Dr. Daniel Brubaker, will simply reveal to you that there is no such thing as a perfectly preserved Quran. There are corrections, erasures, things that were overwritten, things that were removed. And at the same time, if you look at the variant readings themselves that David just mentioned about Sister Hatun, for instance, bringing different Qurans with different or variant text readings, and what it doesn't have to be verse by verse. At least if you find few spots in two Qurans that read differently or have different pronunciation, right there, you defeat the purpose of saying that it's perfectly preserved. And on top of this, there is the logical challenge. How can you convince yourself that all of these seven readings or seven ahruf somehow were revealed from heaven. Which version was revealed from heaven? They're all seven are found on the same basically tablet. Go ahead and write these seven different readings on top of each other and you judge. Are they matching each other? Can you pronounce it correctly sometimes? Can the meaning vary by pronouncing it one way over the other? Early Quranic manuscripts, everybody knows if you are really sincere and honest with yourself when you look at them, do not have dottings or diacritical markings. And that alone can change even the reading, the pronunciation, and along that comes the change in meaning. Indeed, it is a myth and it is a dilemma. David, thank you so much as always, and until next video, and hopefully we will talk about yet another exciting thing. Thank you for the work you do, and of course I want to remind people that David now have a new YouTube channel, and brother, what is the channel again? It's called?
We've got a few. That was the idea of spreading the content around to make it harder to ban. But Apologetics Roadshow, they can find some good stuff there.
Very good. And I'm assuming there they can also find the other channels. But thank you again, as always. Thank you for your work. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. This is Al-Fadi over and out. God bless. Take care.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.